I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Thanks for tuning in. Barbara Damrosch and Elliot Coleman, the country's foremost organic gardeners operating the Four Seasons Farm in Maine. Their new book, The Four Season Farm, Gardener's Cookbook, From the Garden to the Table in 120 Recipes. Well, good morning and welcome to Cincinnati Edition. And I want to begin by asking about a little line I saw in the acknowledgments that says this was going to be a quick little project, but it turned into 4 years. What is the story behind that? And what planted the seed for the Four Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook?
Well, my publisher had always been wanting me to write a cookbook. I'd been a garden writer for a long time, and I would sometimes show slides of dishes I'd make, and the audience would say, oh, why haven't you written a cookbook? So we just decided it would be good to have it include gardening tips as well and just do the whole thing from garden to table.
Every time we thought we had it finished, we'd decide, oh, no, we need.
I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Thanks for tuning in. Barbara Damrosch and Elliot Coleman, the country's foremost organic gardeners operating the Four Seasons Farm in Maine. Their new book, The Four Season Farm, Gardener's Cookbook, From the Garden to the Table in 120 Recipes. Well, good morning and welcome to Cincinnati Edition. And I want to begin by asking about a little line I saw in the acknowledgments that says this was going to be a quick little project, but it turned into 4 years. What is the story behind that? And what planted the seed for The Four Season Farm, Gardener's Cookbook?
Well, my publisher had always been wanting me to write a cookbook. I'd been a garden writer for a long time, and I would sometimes show slides of dishes I'd make, and the audience would say, oh, why haven't you written a cookbook? So we just decided it would be good to have it include gardening tips as well and just do the whole thing from garden to table.
Every time we thought we had it finished, we decide, oh, no, we need to add this and that, and we wanted it to be a good, complete book, so that's the way we did it.
Well, I was going to ask whether it was the cookbook side of things or the gardening side of things that expanded the process, because you certainly cover a lot of ground, and we'll begin with you, Elliot, in the garden, and talk about the importance of the soil when it comes to an organic garden. You take a lot of time in talking about the soil, and many folks don't devote enough time, I believe, to building up their soil to make a good garden.
No, you're perfectly right, Mark, and it is the key to making the garden good. We talk about compost, how easy it is to make compost from the yard and garden and kitchen scraps, and getting organic matter into the soil. Basically, you're gardening with the same techniques that Mother Nature uses. All those leaves fall from the trees, and they're putting organic matter into the soil, and that's the way things are built. If you do that and really get the soil put together, you'll have no gardening problems. You go out there and drop a seed in and you stand back because it really wants to grow.
And really that soil is crucial to making the food taste good. And I'll ask you, Barbara, so does organic produce really taste better?
Well, I think it does. It's not just the absence of pesticides. I don't think you can always taste the pesticide. It's just that little mysterious shadow of doubt in the back of your mind.
Yes.
But I think the reason organic food tastes better is that it isn't sort of pumped up with a lot of high nitrogen fertilizers, and I think that waters down the flavor. I don't know if that's scientifically true, but that's the impression I've always had, that the flavors are more intense.
And when you have plenty of organic matter in the soil, the organic matter is the way the soil is able to deliver all of those elements, especially the important trace elements to plants, because that's how they're available and how they're carried. And so you get the trace elements in there. Every little bit of the foundation that puts the plant together and makes it taste good is going to be there.
I am, a practicing organic gardener. I don't think I'm at the level of expertise that you two are, but I do know that I had tended to make raised beds, and I found it interesting in the first part of the book, in the gardening section of the book, where you talk about beds and not necessarily raising the soil all that much.
Right, that's right. I used to make raised beds years ago, and I stopped doing it. It makes the outline of the garden, the layout, a little too permanent. You know, I like to be able to change my mind. I also find that since we have sandy soil, the soil drains too easily. If you have clay soil, sometimes a raised bed's a good idea because you're loosening the soil, you're building it up, keeping it nice and fluffy. We do it just by keeping the soil fluffy, period. Our beds look a little raised, but that's just because we don't walk on them. So the paths are trodden and the bed area is fluffy. Simple as that.
And very simple, but very important for those roots trying to get all those nutrients in the water down there, too.
Right, right.
Well, let's talk about crop rotation. This was something I hadn't really practiced, but I was intrigued as I read more and more about crop rotation in your book and how important it is to really make your garden abundant rather than planting the same thing in the same place each year.
Well, we learn a lot of this because we're commercial growers, and these are important things if you're growing vegetables on the scale, the large scale that we do. So we've tried to figure out ways to extend the successful techniques we use in the commercial operation to the home gardener. And the crop rotation is a very important aspect because you don't want to be growing the same crop in the same ground every year because you can get a buildup of pests and diseases that will inhibit your yields. And it's so easy to do that in the home garden. I mean, all you have to do is have a path down the middle of your garden, and every year what was on the left side grows on the right side, and on the right side grows on the left side, and lo and behold, you have a crop rotation. If you can expand that into the same crop not coming back for 4 years, it's even better.
I know it's difficult for some gardeners who tend to focus on, let's say, the tomato, peppers, and beans type of approach to do a crop rotation because those are all in the same family. And you talk about all the different families of plants here in the Four Season Farm Gardener's
Cookbook. Well, actually, the beans and the tomatoes are in different families. So you could just have a rotation where you reverse those two each year. In fact, we do that in the back of our garden on the north side where both those crops are trellised. So we have the trellis there, and it grows, you know, beans 1 year and tomatoes the next. And on the other side of the garden, it's the opposite.
Well, let's just, before we get into the cookbook aspect of things, I want to ask what the best piece of advice you could offer to someone who wants to become an organic gardener or even just a gardener.
Well, the best piece of advice with any new process is to start small. Start with a little area the size of your dining room table, 3x6. If you have no compost ready-made, go to your garden supply store and buy some good compost or composted manure. Add that to the soil. Add in other recommended fertilizers and throw some seeds in there. You will suddenly become so hooked on the delightful returns from that. You'll be able to go out and pick a salad right before dinner. And that then will grow into a bigger garden. So in anything like this, start small and then get some knowledge and then expand from there.
Well, I love a line you had in the introduction, the best fertilizer we can offer as a new gardener is encouragement, and you're certainly doing that in this book.
And so many people are nervous about their first garden. They think they're going to have a black thumb.
Yes.
But really, plants want to grow. It's easier than they think.
Well, in the cookbook section, which is strictly your domain, Barbara, you mm-hmm. collaborated in the first half with the gardening, but in the cookbook section, it's all yours, and I like how you started out saying that if you're a shopper cook, you'll start with a recipe and a list of ingredients and go out and buy them and make the dish, but a gardener cook does it backwards, and that really does bring some excitement to the cooking process.
That's right. It makes you much more creative. It's much more fun. You pick your basket and you go in, and what am I going to do with this? And the way I've gone about it is to have a lot of my recipes be sort of basic ones that I can adapt to whatever's in season. So, you know, you could make a quiche with leeks in early summer, in midsummer, or even corn kernels. But then that quiche might have something like spinach in it later on. And the same thing would go for a stir fry or fried rice or an omelet or a soup. That's the system I use. Just some really basic things to do with food, but vary it and use different herbs, you know, play with it, see what goes well with something else.
And some people don't always feel secure in playing with that, but I believe the recipes here in the Four Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook do offer you that opportunity and some of those options as you're going along to substitute different produce in.
Yeah, and the other thing is I don't always make my salads tossed salads because I like to put a lot of other ingredients in other than just the greens. And you'll notice if you try to put something like cut up apple or cubes of croutons or cheese or something, that all sort of sinks to the bottom. So I make these salads where you compose them. You put out a bed of greens, and then you lay these things on top. It could even be something like shrimp or chicken or, you know, or there's one where I make spiced peaches and put it on, or baked beets. So you can make a salad be a whole meal. Elliot and I so often have that kind of salad as our supper. We like to eat a little lighter before we sleep and have a heavier meal at the middle of the day when we're working hard. And so, you know, there's a lot of nice little supper dishes in this book.
And nothing that seems to take much time when you're working with this fresh produce. Really, you can have a tasty meal and just a limited amount of time.
That's right. And the ones that do take time, like some of the soups and things like that, they can just be simmering on the back of the stove while you're off in the garden and just check on it occasionally.
Well, I appreciate all the tips, both from the gardening aspect and the cooking aspect that you offer in the Four Seasons Farm Gardener's Cookbook. I appreciate you being here this morning and sharing a few tips with us.
Thank you so much for asking us.
Our pleasure, Mark.
Barbara Damrosch and Elliot Coleman, the country's foremost organic gardeners operating the Four Seasons Farm in Maine. Their new book, The Four Season Farm, Gardener's Cookbook, From the Garden to the Table in 120 Recipes, available where books are sold. It's really two books in one, great for some tips on creating your garden and maintaining your garden, and then, of course, putting all your garden grows to work. You can find out more about it at our website, wvxu.org.
To add this and that, and we wanted it to be a good, complete book, so that's the way we did it.
Well, I was going to ask whether it was the cookbook side of things or the gardening side of things that expanded the process, because you certainly cover a lot of ground, and we'll begin with you, Elliot, in the garden, and talk about the importance of the soil when it comes to an organic garden. You take a lot of time in talking about the soil, and many folks don't devote enough time, I believe, to building up their soil to make a good garden.
No, you're perfectly right, Mark, and it is the key to making the garden good. We talk about compost, how easy it is to make compost from the yard and garden and kitchen scraps, and getting organic matter into the soil. Basically, you're gardening with the same techniques that Mother Nature uses. All those leaves fall from the trees, and they're putting organic matter into the soil, and that's the way things are built. If you do that and really get the soil put together, you'll have no gardening problems. You go out there and drop a seed in and you stand back because it really wants to grow.
And really that soil is crucial to making the food taste good. And I'll ask you, Barbara, so does organic produce really taste better?
Well, I think it does. It's not just the absence of pesticides. I don't think you're going to always taste the pesticide. It's just that little mysterious shadow of doubt in the back of your mind.
Yes.
But I think the reason organic food tastes better is that it isn't sort of pumped up with a lot of high nitrogen fertilizers, and I think that waters down the flavor. I don't know if that's scientifically true, but that's the impression I've always had, that the flavors are more intense.
And when you have plenty of organic matter in the soil, the organic matter is the way the soil is able to deliver all of those elements, especially the important trace elements to plants, because that's how they're available and how they're carried. And so you get the trace elements in there. Every little bit of the foundation that puts the plant together and makes it taste good is going to be there.
I am, a practicing organic gardener. I don't think I'm at the level of expertise that you two are, but I do know that I had tended to make raised beds, and I found it interesting in the first part of the book, in the gardening section of the book, where you talk about beds and not necessarily raising the soil all that much.
Right, that's right. I used to make raised beds years ago, and I stopped doing it. It makes the outline of the garden, the layout, a little too permanent. You know, I like to be able to change my mind. I also find that since we have sandy soil, the soil drains too easily. If you have clay soil, sometimes a raised bed's a good idea because you're loosening the soil, you're building it up, keeping it nice and fluffy. We do it just by keeping the soil fluffy, period. Our beds look a little raised, but that's just because we don't walk on them. So the paths are trodden and the bed area is fluffy. Simple as that.
And very simple, but very important for those roots trying to get all those nutrients in the water down there, too.
Right, right.
Well, let's talk about crop rotation. This was something I hadn't really practiced, but I was intrigued as I read more and more about crop rotation in your book and how important it is to really make your garden abundant rather than planting the same thing in the same place each year.
Well, we learn a lot of this because we're commercial growers, and these are important things if you're growing vegetables on the scale, the large scale that we do. So we've tried to figure out ways to extend the successful techniques we use in the commercial operation to the home gardener. And the crop rotation is a very important aspect because you don't want to be growing the same crop in the same ground every year because you can get a buildup of pests and diseases that will inhibit your yields. And it's so easy to do that in the home garden. I mean, all you have to do is have a path down the middle of your garden, and every year what was on the left side grows on the right side, and on the right side grows on the left side, and lo and behold, you have a crop rotation. If you can expand that into the same crop not coming back for 4 years, it's even better.
I know it's difficult for some gardeners who tend to focus on, let's say, the tomato, peppers, and beans type of approach to do a crop rotation because those are all in the same family. And you talk about all the different families of plants here in the Four Season Farm Gardeners.
Well, actually, the beans and the tomatoes are in different families. So you could just have a rotation where you reverse those two each year. In fact, we do that in the back of our garden on the north side where both those crops are trellised. So we have the trellis there, and it grows, you know, beans 1 year and tomatoes the next. And on the other side of the garden, it's the opposite.
Well, let's just to, before we get into the cookbook aspect of things, I want to ask what the best piece of advice you could offer to someone who wants to become an organic gardener or even just a gardener.
Well, the best piece of advice with any new process is to start small. Start with a little area the size of your dining room table, 3x6. If you have no compost ready-made, go to your garden supply store and buy some good compost or composted manure. Add that to the soil. Add in other recommended fertilizers and throw some seeds in there. You will suddenly become so hooked on the delightful returns from that. You'll be able to go out and pick a salad right before dinner. And that then will grow into a bigger garden. So in anything like this, start small and then get some knowledge and then expand from there.
Well, I love a line you had in the introduction, the best fertilizer we can offer as a new gardener is encouragement, and you're certainly doing that in this book.
Many people are nervous about their first garden. They think they're going to have a black thumb.
Yes.
But really, plants want to grow. It's easier than they think.
Well, in the cookbook section, which is strictly your domain, Barbara, you mm-hmm. collaborated in the first half with the gardening, but in the cookbook section, it's all yours, and I like how you started out saying that if you're a sharper cook, you'll start with a recipe and a list of ingredients and go out and buy them and make the dish. But a gardener cook does it backwards, and that really does bring some excitement to the cooking process.
That's right. It makes you much more creative. It's much more fun. You pick your basket and you go in, and what am I going to do with this? And the way I've gone about it is to have a lot of my recipes be sort of basic ones that I can adapt to whatever's in season. So, you know, you could make a quiche with leeks in early summer, in midsummer, or even corn kernels. But then that quiche might have something like spinach in it later on. And the same thing would go for a stir fry or fried rice or an omelet or a soup. That's the system I use. Just some really basic things to do with food, but vary it and use different herbs, you know, play with it, see what goes well with something else.
And some people don't always feel secure in playing with that, but I believe the recipes here in the Four Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook do offer you that opportunity and some of those options as you're going along to substitute different produce in.
Yeah, and the other thing is I don't always make my salads tossed salads because I like to put a lot of other ingredients in other than just the greens. And you'll notice if you try to put something like cut up apple or cubes of croutons or cheese or something, that all sort of sinks to the bottom. So I make these salads where you compose them. You put out a bed of greens, and then you lay these things on top. It could even be something like shrimp or chicken or, you know, or there's one where I make spiced peaches and put it on, or baked beets. So you can make a salad be a whole meal. Elliot and I so often have that kind of salad as our supper. We like to eat a little lighter before we sleep and have a heavier meal at the middle of the day when we're working hard. And so, you know, there's a lot of nice little supper dishes in this book.
And nothing that seems to take much time when you're working with this fresh produce. Really, you can have a tasty meal in just a limited amount of time.
That's right. And the ones that do take time, like some of the soups and things like that, they can just be simmering on the back of the stove while you're off in the garden and just check on it occasionally.
Well, I appreciate all the tips, both from the gardening aspect and the cooking aspect that you offer in the Four Seasons Farm Gardener's Cookbook. I appreciate you being here this morning and sharing a few tips with us.
Thank you so much for asking us.
Our pleasure, Mark.
Barbara Damrosch and Elliot Coleman, the country's foremost organic gardeners operating the Four Seasons Farm in Maine. Their new book, The Four Season Farm, Gardener's Cookbook, From the Garden to the Table in 120 Recipes, available where books are sold. It's really two books in one, great for some tips on creating your garden and maintaining your garden, and then, of course, putting all your garden grows to work. You can find out more about it at our website, wvxu.org.